This is the Freedom Theme Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. Please put on your 3D glasses now. We alter your locus of radius by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Shane and John?
I can feel it.
I don't even need to put my 3D glasses on, man.
Oh. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right. So we are back. This is the Freedom Fiends. I am Jeremy, joined tonight by Shane and John. And it's Sunday, or Monday. Yeah, it's Monday for me now. Woo-hoo! And what's going on with you guys, man? I spent a day hanging out with my kids, playing on Steam It, messing with my miner. What have you guys been up to?
I've been trying to work on the book that I made a ton of progress with recently, but this week I've just been diving deep into the crypto stuff and not getting too much of that work done, but at least I'm getting something done.
Well, that's good.
I got a few errands done today. I went and got my oil changed and did my grocery shopping, but I stayed up late last night and didn't get a lot of sleep, so I pretty much passed out and slept all day, so I'm wide awake now for the show.
All right, cool. So John and I can take a nap, and Shane's going to carry us through. Excellent. I'm actually pretty wired right now. I got a couple of naps, actually, because I passed out on the couch a little earlier while the kids were playing. I nodded off like 45 minutes, and then I think that was after dinner. And then after they went to bed, I was able to pass out again for another hour. So now I'll probably be up all night long. Yeehaw!
Welcome to the club.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. I'm sure I could find plenty of things to fill my time with. There's always something interesting going on, like, people eating laundry detergent, quote-unquote libertarian presidential candidates getting themselves arrested on purpose, allegedly. Do you guys catch that whole Kokesh drama?
Oh, yeah.
The very surface.
Yeah. Well, actually, Adam Kokesh, who we've talked about on the show before, and most of us, I don't know your guys' feelings on him. I know most of the rest of the Fiends are not exactly that fond of him, at least anymore. I'm one of them. I used to be a big fan of his, and then I met him,
well,
and then
it's things funny. Started to change. I also met him, but it was way back in 2008, before I even knew who he was. You know how he used to go around to the CPACs and some of the Republican state conventions? He actually made an appearance at the Indiana State Convention where I was a delegate, and I met him briefly, before I ever knew who he was. But then once I started following him, he does seem consistent in his message, even if he's not consistent in his actions.
Yes, but what was it that that old wise philosopher from Canada taught us? If people are inconsistent, or even if they have a consistent message, if they're inconsistent in their personal life, then their entire catalog can be ignored, which is why I now ignore most of what Stefano Molyneux says, because he's the one who said that years ago, and now he does the same thing. So yeah, if you're not living up to your principles, then I don't really have much use for you. And I don't know how consistent his principles. I mean, yeah, sure, he talks a good game, but. Like I said, I
like most of what he's said, especially recently. But I mean, I tend to not get too into the personal lives thing because I wouldn't like people getting too deep into mine. But I haven't looked too deep into this one, but I definitely understand where y'all are coming from. And the situation is definitely weird.
Yeah. Well, this is even a personal life stuff. Like, he puts his stuff out there publicly, and before we better lead you too far, the story we're talking about here in particular is, of course, I guess it was Friday now. He was Adam and his posse were driving across the country in his RV, and I think they were allegedly headed to the Bitcoin conference in Miami. I don't know how they expected to make it there in time, considering they were only in the middle of Texas when he got busted. we're not even in the middle of Texas. I don't even know if he was somewhere in Texas, so I don't know how they planned to get all the way to Miami before the conference ended. But anyway, that was the story. And supposedly, he had just left for he had just left the place where he had officially filed his his bid for the presidency in 2020, because that's Adam's big thing. He claims he's going to run for president in order to shut down the federal government. That's his whole plan, which doesn't seem to fit very well with, at least all the other stuff he wants to do doesn't seem to fit very well with the with actual libertarianism. It fits really well with the Libertarian Party, which will actually fit in nicely in a little bit. But so anyway, allegedly he had just filed and he left and he's driving through Texas and he gets busted for speeding. And I think he got a ticket on that one, but he videotaped the encounter. And then allegedly, like 40 minutes or so later, he gets pulled over a second time. And this time he's again videotaping the encounter, but the cops, he's also going out of his way to give a whole bunch of information that really wasn't necessary to give the cops. Things like he's basically a professional civil disobedient, talking about the fact that he had been in jail, offering them a copy of his book and mentioning that he had written it in jail and why he was in there and all this stuff. Like, you know, the standard line of don't talk to the cops. Don't mm-hmm. give them any more information than you absolutely have to, which is something I believe Adam has preached quite often over the years. Like, he's going, like, you watch the video, he's going out of his way to tell this cop to literally, like, the only thing that I could come away with was that he was trying to give him, that he was trying to give the cop a reason to investigate him further. And then they ended up bringing in, because Adam was acting so bizarre, basically, the cops ended up calling in the drug dogs, and they got what they claimed was a hit and found some cannabis. I believe it was over an ounce, but less than 5 ounces. I believe that was the description given. So a decent amount of cannabis. And Adam was hauled off to jail. Interestingly enough, again, this individual who has a habit of filming, you know, he had himself filmed getting, doing the whole shotgun thing in Washington, D.C., which ended up getting him arrested a couple of years ago. He had people film that, you know, when the Jefferson Memorial thing, when he was doing the dance party there. He's always having things being filmed, or him filming it himself, or his street interviews, and he always, you know, he always takes them to the fullest extreme. And here again, somebody who knows, who at least should know full well, like, what the laws are regarding police interactions and stuff like that, and someone who has spoke at length in the past about police interactions and what you should and should not do. The officers ask if he'll turn off the camera once they say the dog had a hit and now they're going to search the vehicle, and he immediately complies and and says goodbye to the camera with this giant poop-eating grin on his face. Like, the whole thing just seems set up like it didn't happen, but like he was looking for this to happen. And so, like, that was my initial impression of this. And then I got to talk And then I got talking to some other people, including former fiend Jin Jesus, who I ended up doing a podcast with last night about this. And he brought a whole bunch of other things to my attention, that really, like I said, that was my initial reaction. But once he brought all this other stuff to my attention, I'm like, yeah, this definitely seems like it was totally like he was out looking for publicity. Because according to the information Jim found, Adam actually filed his bid for the presidency back on December 1st of last year. There's a record of it. Jim has a there's documentation of this, and we provide for the show we did last night. There's just a slew of, you know, evidence of links and stuff like that that'll point to all this information that's actually there. No, he filed way back on December 1st. So if he filed way back on December 1st, what was he doing yesterday when he claimed he filed, and then within an hour of him filing, he was arrested? Because that's the story he's trying to run with. That, oh, they're basically trying to stop me. They're afraid of me. I've scared them because I'm officially running for president now. So they had to go out of their way to arrest me.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. If he had officially filed before, why would he need to do so again? Especially on the way to a Bitcoin conference while he's already late for it.
Yeah. So, you know, but this is something that, there's a history of this, of certain things not really adding up when it comes to his stories. And then, of course, it gets even crazier because, of course, as soon as this happens, the news gets blasted out everywhere. I only happen to notice it because he had, like a week or two ago, he had recently returned to Steam It, where, of course, as I've talked about, I've recently joined and started posting a lot. So I'm there a lot more often. So I saw a bunch of these posts being shared by a bunch of people, or re-steamed, I guess, technically there, from Adam's account about how he'd been arrested and this and, you know, oh, and a call out for bail money. And so he gets arrested, and they're, you know, his girlfriend and his little posse are putting out stories and trying to get attention from everybody, you know, get everybody's attention on this. And then they, you know, start asking for donations because, you know, Adam needs bail money. Which, okay, I could understand that. I mean, if I was busted, I mean, I needed bail money when I was arrested. I didn't need as much as he did, but I could understand that aspect of it. But so, you know, his fans went to work and donated a whole bunch of money. And then, you know, a couple hours later, there was this weird message that basically said it came out that he was actually donating almost the exact amount that he had received to the Libertarian Party. And yeah, the story came out, you know, it came out later that is, you know, again, his little posse trying to clean up the mess here, claiming that, oh, no. It's totally coincidental that the exact amount of money is going there. You know, this was planned ahead of time. Then they changed it to, it was the fact that they were, they were accepting the donations and they weren't giving the LP the donated money. They were giving money, they were giving their own money to the LP, but it's because they were refusing, as they put it, as Adam's statement was, refusing to negotiate with terrorists. So they weren't going to pay his bail. So that meant all that money that people had donated was not going to the cause that they all thought it was. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I believe that's the definition of fraud.
I like Adam, so I'm not in this. You guys could talk about this.
I'm just presenting facts here, man. I'm not. Well, you know.
I mean, that's cool. I just don't want to get labeled as one of the Adam haters around here. That's all.
Hey, man.
Well, let us not fall into the genetic fallacy where we, you know, can't separate the message from the messenger.
Yeah, well. We'll talk more about it when we get back, but listening to Freedom Fiends worms.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
We'll have to save that conversation for the next break.
The breaks could almost make their own show.
Yeah, see, now, and they could be really good ones, but Michael's got to show up to record those, which he does occasionally, although he never wants to come out and play anymore. He's too busy making music these days.
They might get us into a little bit of trouble, those breaks. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, I used to think that, and then I remember what I put out on my Patreon feed, and I'm like, oh, I've said much worse, you know, so whatever. So anyway, when we left... when we left for the break, we were, well, I was rambling on and on and bashing Adam Kokesh, and John was saying he didn't want to get involved, and I don't blame him. You know, I understand. You know, I'm not even trying to like attack him. I mean, I'm poking a lot of fun at him, yes, but it's, you know, I'm just going by the facts, because like I said, this is what happened to me last night when I had presented with all this other information. It was kind of like, well, yeah, this is, none of this is adding up. Like, you know, like I said, the story of when he actually filed, the fact that he somehow managed to get pulled over twice. Now, it's not unheard of to get pulled over twice in an hour in Texas, because I know there's plenty of those tiny little towns that are basically essentially speed traps. Because, you know, what's the speed limit in Texas? 65, 70, something like that, most places. And then it'll just dip when you come into these tiny little towns that pop up out of nowhere as you're cruising along. Like, I know that can happen. But if you are somebody who has already put a target on your back for your years of activism, and now you have allegedly just filed to officially run for president of the United States, and you are making the claim that the reason this is, that you are being harassed by the police in this instance, is because of said filing to run for president, then even if you were stupid enough to get to not pay attention and get one speeding ticket, why on earth would you continue to speed after that? Like, that just doesn't make any sense on any level whatsoever.
Yeah, was it speeding both times?
Yes, both times he was caught for speeding.
Yeah, I mean, I do have my bias, you know, but I will say that he is definitely a showman, and I could see him getting arrested on purpose.
Well, because, yeah, he's done it before, you know? That's the thing, and that's why it's like, you know, you know, we've done this plenty of times on the show before, and I know Michael catches a lot of heat for it, because when he gets upset at somebody, he goes and goes and goes. But when he, you know, most of the time I'm usually in agreement with him, because the idea is not to just attack this person. It's to point out a figure in liberty that a lot of people look up to, who really isn't what they claim to be, you know. And it's the whole, and that goes back to a conversation we've had multiple times on this show about the whole idea of ostracizing people, and how a lot of us talk about it as a great idea, and, you know, one of the solutions to how to form a society without the state, you know. And that's how, you know, basically having a reputation-based economy. But we can't, we, the collective we within the liberty community, can't even seem to master it in the now, because there's plenty of people who have repeatedly been busted in different types of scams or different type of controversies like this. Like, you know, unfortunately, regardless of your personal feelings about Adam, he's got quite a track record. And, you know, like I said, I'll link it in the show notes. Michael may not like it, but I'm going to link the show notes that we did last night for the Lulberts, because it covers all of the evidence against him, and all the information about his father too, who also is you know, it seems to be one of those apple doesn't fall far from the tree guys, because his dad is somebody who's in trouble with the SEC a lot. He's a venture capitalist, but he's been busted multiple times for ripping people off, basically, you know, Bernie Madoff Ponzi style type things. So, you know,
BitConnect, you're saying?
Something like that. But yeah, so you know, people like Jeff Berwick, who again has a lot of fans.
I like him too.
but Jeff has, you know, again, he's been talked about extensively on the show, because he has a large track record of really bad things happening surrounding him, where he just happens to be in the middle of all the time, coincidentally, but it never seems to be his fault. You know. So when there's people out there like this, it doesn't say a lot for most people's idea of the future if they can't even accomplish it in the present. You know, if people are just going to ignore the obvious evidence against certain individuals, and I'm not just picking on these particular couple of people either. There's much more. But if you're going to ignore that, you know, basically because, oh, they're one of us, oh, we're such a small group, we have to protect our own, you're not any better than the people you're trying to get away from. We'll be back. Farms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Making the world a better place with great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Anyway, we are back, and we're done talking.
Have
about
they started their own show yet?
Yes, we. It's called the Lulberts. Most of the X-Fiends are there. I'm there too. I think I'm the only current. Oh no, that's not true because Nick Hazelton's over there. Which actually, it's see that's perfect, John. You made me bring up Nick, which is actually going to get me to bring up the picture for tonight's show, which isn't going to be relevant for pretty much anything in the show that we talk about, other than the fact that I mentioned it right now because it's a picture of Nick, a meme I made earlier today, kind of at the request of one of our fans, Lane Reaper, who follows the Fiends, follows Nick's podcast.
A real name there?
I don't know. That's the name he goes by on Facebook. But anyway, he follows all of our stuff, including my stuff with the Seeds of Liberty. But he threw a comment in Nick Hazelton, our co-host here, young yak boy. He threw a comment in Nick's group on his latest podcast, mentioning something about having a wanted poster made up for Nick. So I made one up for him, and that'll be the. That'll be the photo for the pick for tonight's show. Just because
a yak boy means something entirely different in my circles, man.
It's all about perspective. Anyway,
the dear sweet yak emperor.
Yes. So anyway, now that we got that business out of the way, we're gonna shift gears from talking about one so-called libertarian candidate for president, I guess, into the overall government, because as we're recording right now, I think the government is officially, the U.S. government is officially still in a quote-unquote shutdown right now. Is that right? They haven't officially opened whatever they allegedly shut down. And they haven't allegedly opened back up yet. Is that the deal, guys?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah.
It looks like everything's still on fire outside.
The roads are still gone.
The roads are still... I woke up, it's gone, man. It was crazy. Now, this, of course, is... I don't remember how many of these government shut... Wasn't there like two or three of these during Obama's presidency, the government shutdown things?
There was.
Or am I actually just imagining that?
I at least remember one.
There was definitely one. I seem to remember a couple more, or at least they were heavily threatened because, you know, obviously over the years I've paid less and less attention to what actually goes on in Mordor on the Potomac because I just have no desire to really get dragged down that much. by the disgusting behavior of those individuals that go on, that live within those borders. But I don't know. I think, like I said, I may be misremembering, but I know they, because it came up every time, every year the budget thing comes up, and every year they have to kick it down the road because what is it now? There hasn't been a budget agreed upon since, was it Bush's first term? Or was it Clinton's last term or something like that? Some crazy thing like that where they haven't actually, the U.S. government hasn't actually agreed to an official budget. Or it might have been the middle of Bush's first, his terms. I don't know. But it's been a while.
It's so funny watching these idiots blame each other.
Well, see, it's funny in a way, I mean, at least for me, it is funny. But it's sad on the other hand because... So many people, it seems, still buy into this.
There like are even anarchists sharing how many Republicans voted for such and such, and I'm like, what do you care? What do you talk about?
Well, yeah, because this one, I guess, came down to the whole the Dreamers. Is that what it came down to? DACA, I guess, is what the Democrats are all upset about.
I think that was one of the main things.
Yeah, I think that's...
And I don't want to see people get deported either, except for people who have ports installed in them from cancer like I did, and I got deported.
That was when cool, you got but... deported, that was awesome.
but real deportations, I'm not cool with that, so I understand, but like, why does that need a budget? That dude that was living in America for 30 years and just got deported, it wasn't like a budget that was keeping him in America. It was his own hard work. So, you know, you don't need a budget to not deport people. You know what I'm saying?
Right. It kind of reminds me of the 2013 shutdown when Obama actually spent more money to close national parks and monuments than it would have cost to keep them open.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I think that this is just kind of like a political strong arm, political theater, just kind of getting people excited, making threats, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, it absolutely is, because of exactly what Shane just pointed out. What are the things that get shut down? I mean, that's why it's such a joke to, you know, people who actually understand and have realized what's going on. But when the government threatens a shutdown, it's a misnomer, because the government, of course, is not shutting down. You don't look outside and see everything that has anything to do with government, like not working or people not showing up to work. What they do is they start cutting what they claim to be non-essential employees, which of course begs the question, why do taxpayers have to pay for non-essential employees?
The worst things about the government stay operational when it comes to, you know, the things that kill people, the parts that kill people and, you know, threaten you and keep you in line.
Well, yeah. And that's actually doubly bad, because number one, they will actually stop paying the military during these times, although they will get their money back. As has happened pretty much every time this happens, that like they'll pay him back later on. I was actually just talking to my buddy Dylan about this the other day, because he remembers the last shutdown. He was still in the military when that happened, and yeah, he didn't get paid during that shutdown. And they did. He's like, yeah, we did get our money back, but it was like in 13 week installments. Like six months later it started, and then they got 13 week installments to get their payback.
Like $2 checks and stuff.
Yeah, whatever it was, you know, he got it. He got his money. Yeah, so they did. But so yeah, they'll stop paying the military during these situations, but they'll still have them go out and blow people up and stuff like that. But yeah, of course, the quote unquote essential stuff all stays open. But what they shut down, what they do is they shut things down, like the parks and stuff like that, like Shane mentioned, because it's designed to hurt. It's designed to raise the awareness of the citizenry and go, oh my God, they're taking away our national parks. They're taking away our treasures. We have to do something. And yeah, that's exactly why they do these things. You know, there'd be no reason for them to come out and announce this type of stuff otherwise.
Yeah, it's like they're holding stuff hostage, essentially.
Yeah. And the fact that it keeps seeming to work, I mean, I would hope that less and less people are falling for this every time. But because it always is tied to some divisive issue, like in this case, the immigration thing, people just seem to be easily, you know, easily convinced to forget all about the stuff that happened just a couple of years ago. Like 2013 really wasn't that long ago. I know sometimes, you know, 5 years can seem like a lifetime, but it's really not.
Come to think of it, I think the reason that they had the dispute last time, it might have been the healthcare thing, and you know, people could correct me if I'm wrong, but if it was in fact the healthcare thing, the reason it shut down last time, it's the immigration thing this time, then they are definitely just harping on the issue of the day.
Yeah. That's what they do, because like I said, this comes up pretty much every year. They have to keep kicking it down because there hasn't been a budget approved. No president's budget has been approved. I think that because I remember that being about Obama's thing, that every budget he put out was vetoed by the Senate or whatever. So they were never approved. I'm almost positive Trump's first one it wasn't or hasn't been approved or won't be approved. And I'm pretty sure it was like multiple ones through the. I want to say it was maybe Bush's whole presidency, but I may be wrong about that. It might have only been half. But so they have to keep doing this because every year the government quote unquote runs out of money. Which, of course, is a gigantic joke because the government doesn't have any money. Whatever it has, it must first take from everybody else. And the quote-unquote money it has is just the stuff that it electronically prints through, you know, the
exactly.
The magic of the magic of central banking. So they don't even have to, you know, they don't have any money. So it's a joke when they say they're broke. But when, you know, when they hit that budget cap every year, they have to play this game and they have to kick these things down the road. And if one of the regular hot button issues happens to be, you know, if it happened to be talked about recently, then of course, who's ever not in quote unquote power at the time is going to take advantage of that. And they're going to, because last time it was the Republicans, oh, we're going to stand strong against them, against those Democrats and Obama, because they're going to try to ram this health care bill down our throats. I think you were right about that, John. I think I remember being tied to that. And now it's reversed. Now the Republicans are in power. So it's the Democrats. Oh, we're not going to let those dirty Republicans do this. We're going to protect the immigrants, or we're going to stop. We're going to stop the government, which is just a gigantic joke because neither side wants anything to do with a government shutdown. They want nothing to do with or anything to do with a government any smaller than they're already dealing with. So,
yeah,
it's all for show.
It's like they want us to think it's going to be the purge or something every time the government shuts down. But I can verify that I've been outside this weekend and it was not the purge.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people posting, like making the purge posts, and there was actually one guy who came at me on my personal page, you know, saying, what if you get sick again and need to go to the doctors? Of course, he threw that Trump card on me, and, you know, I'm like, well, you know, doctors are private industry, and he's like, well, how are they going to get to work without infrastructure?
As if the roads instantly crumble.
Exactly, like he legit thought that. I mean, I don't know what he thought, because by then I went into troll mode.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like you would think after all these times that for however many times government's Lucy has fooled the voting base is Charlie Brown, you would think they would catch on, but clearly not, because there's still plenty of people that buy this garbage. I mean, there was different different Congress critters and senators and whatever running around making outlandish statements about what was going to happen this time around too.
Feinstein was saying people are going to die, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That article.
Yeah, and exactly, because, and why do they do that every time? Because they know that a decent amount of their constituency, or at least their voting base, is going to buy it. Because they buy it every time, because that's what politics is, that you play to the emotions of your voting base and you convince them that you have the better plan and you can save them from the horrors of the other side.
Kind of like good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. It's just so, it's just so ridiculous because, like I said, obviously we realize nothing is shut down. Nothing changes. I mean, for me, I remember the last government shutdown, but I also remember when, you know, like New York City stopped enforcing their laws for a while because of deaths of cops, and nothing bad happened. But quickly thereafter, people forget that we all survived. It's not the end of the world, folks. We can go on. Permanent shutdown, baby.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week, we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
And we're back. And we're talking about the quote-unquote government shutdown in the last segment, which of course is funny. And I think, John, you actually did mention the fact that, you know, things like the police and stuff, they're still up and running, which was proven out today because apparently, I guess there was foosball today. I don't really
foosball.
I don't watch too much sports anymore. Although I was a dedicated Cowboys fan for years, I just don't really pay attention anymore. But I guess the championship games were today, the NFL championship games, and there was quite a fracas over in Philly where the Vikings and the Eagles were playing, which of course is not unheard of because Philly fans are some of the most vile individuals on the field.
That's where I grew up.
Yeah, I grew up in PA.
I remember them being crazy.
Yeah, I grew up in PA and used to drive like 2 hours north of Philly, and I used to drive down there. It was my first favorite city to ever be in. I used to like hanging out down there. But I also, my very first football game, I was, I don't know, 10, 12 years old. Well, actually, no, what was it? Whatever year the Bengals went to the Super, was it 89, I guess? Yeah, the Bengals went to the Super Bowl in 89 with Icky Woods. And I was a 12-year-old kid. And somebody had gotten me an Icky Woods jersey because I just thought he was the coolest thing in the world. For anybody who doesn't remember, Icky Woods was this, you know, kind of okay running back. He was like great for like a season or two for Cincinnati. But he did the Icky Shuffle was his dance move when he scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
He was, you know, yeah. So I was a huge fan of him as 12 years old. And my very first football game, my friend's mom took my friend and I and a couple of our other friends down to Philly to go watch the Eagles and the Bengals. And of course, I was all excited because I got to wear my Icky Woods shirt. And I learned every dirty word in the book that day. I had multiple beers poured on me, you know, not spilled on me, poured on me. A 12-year-old kid. That was my introduction to the fans in Philadelphia. So yeah, it's not surprising that Philly fans were getting the heck beat out, were getting into it with the Minnesota fans before the game, because they said even though there was a, I guess the kickoff wasn't until like 7 o'clock tonight. They people were out in the parking lots at 7 a.m. to start the party.
Yeah, so apparently Philly was the first stadium in the country to have a full prison and courthouse inside just for degenerates that got arrested.
Yeah, old Veterans Stadium, their original one. That's where I went to go see them way back then. Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Yeah, that was, I had to go down. I forgot there that they switched.
I had to go down there, not because I was in trouble, but because my friend's mom was trying to report to anybody like what had happened to me. Because like she was this tiny little woman, like what were you gonna
oh
do?
Oh my god!
You know, with these four 12-year-old kids, and we're just like
all like these hooligans.
She actually begged me to go in the bathroom and take off my shirt at one point. She's like, "It's the only way it's gonna stop. We can't do anything else."
Well, you would have been welcome here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I'm sure I would have been. I actually got treated. The sad thing is, because like I said, that's how I know Philly fans are the worst, because I was actually treated better in Boston wearing Yankee gear, which does not go over well either. But I was actually treated like I was called names and picked on, but I didn't have things dumped on me or thrown at me.
Yeah, people in Philly are ruthless, man.
So, yeah. So, anyway, yeah. So, Philly fans are notorious. You know, the Flyer fans, too. Flyer fans are horrible. Anyway, they're notorious for this. So, the fights break out, and the riot police show up. And they, of course, end up beating the heck out of everybody, which, you know, doesn't make anything better. And, you know, that's government for you. They're supposed to be a shutdown, and they're out beating the heck out of each other. But I think the people of the Philadelphia area at least got a little bit back at the cops afterwards, because the other thing the cops were out doing before the game was they were using like Crisco and stuff to grease up the light poles all around the stadium, like anywhere near it. Because, you know, if the Eagles won, everybody was going to go crazy, and they have a habit of rioting in the streets and climbing light poles, and then people get hurt, or hurt other people, or they damage property and stuff like that. Apparently, though, didn't work, because I saw quite a number of pictures afterwards of people climbing up past the Crisco and still managed to get way up on these poles.
And challenge accepted.
Exactly. As you pointed out, John, people were probably like, oh, seriously, man? Oh, you're going to make it a game now? Let's go. So, Prohibition cops doesn't work. When are you folks going to learn? Anyway, I think that's enough for this hour. We're going to go head off to the break. And we shall return with lots more fun. Arms.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by the BIPCOT No Government License. This allows reuse by anyone except governments and government agents. To learn more, go to BIPCOT.org. Right, and we're back for the second hour. We might have to change the intro to LibPair 2018 now, I guess.
No.
Did you read 17?
No, it's supposed to be 17.
Well, I just... it is LibPair 2017.
Yeah, because that's when they were supposed to get there.
That's when the signal reached Alpha Centauri.
Exactly.
I see.
Yeah. From the starting point when the Fiends...
We're in the future.
Yeah,
basically.
That was 4. Well, no, they've already been receiving our signal now for, because it was 4.2 years, I guess it took. So, sometime around June or July this past year.
Yeah, maybe in about another 3.5 years, we'll hear a message back from Alpha Centauri.
Well, you would think if they actually got our message, they'd be able to get here a heck of a lot quicker. So, I don't know.
What if they're cavemen?
That could be a problem. We'll see.
This is deep stuff here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're going to... Moving from deep stuff, we were going to get into more of the realm of the stupid with the story that you can't really avoid talking about. And John actually wrote a rather interesting story about about the topic in particular. But overall, this is just something that's been going on. Apparently, it's been going on a lot longer than I realized. But there's just been this new thing that most people, I guess, thought was a joke at first that was running around called the Tide Pod Challenge, where people were allegedly trying to eat those silly little pods people use to clean their clothes with. I don't know why people would want to do this. And, you know, I first thought it was just, you know, some kind of prank, you know, some kind of joke or whatever, too. And then, of course, you see, no, there's actually videos of teenagers and some adults, too, on YouTube trying to eat these things. And then, of course, getting themselves violently ill. Because, well, you're not supposed to eat laundry detergent. The stuff actually, like, ends up creating, like, what is it, like, third-degree burns or something? Or second-degree burns on, like, the inside of your esophagus and all that? It's crazy.
Well, yeah, it has chlorine in it, I believe.
Yeah. So, So yeah, this is actually a real thing, and people are actually doing this. And in the current year, we have to, there actually has to be warnings. I think I saw a tweet from Tide. I don't know if it was actually legit or not, because it was somebody had screenshotted it, claiming that they were going to stop selling these things.
Saw that, and I searched, and I could not find. I think that wasn't legit.
Okay.
I searched for it, and yeah, I couldn't find it.
Okay, yeah, that's why I thought I didn't get a chance to verify, so that's why I tried to preface that. But yeah, so I don't know if they actually are going to or not, but there are of course calls for this because people want the government to fix the problem instead of recognizing that, you know, maybe you should tell your kids a little bit better about things like this.
Yeah, you know, right?
Because apparently. I should have known this because this has to do with probably one of my least favorite people to ever exist, Chucky Schmucky Schumer, the senator I have had the unfortunate, I've been unfortunate enough to be, who I've lived under pretty much the entire time I've been here in New York because he's been a senator for like, for whatever it seems, and who is just a purely evil person. Apparently, way back in 2012, this had become somewhat of an issue where people worried because I guess a couple of younger kids, like, you know, five and under, they were talking about, had mistakenly eaten these things. Because if you do look at it, like these Tide Pods, I mean, they're white and blue and orange, all kind of swirled together. It could, I guess, look maybe like something like marshmallow candy or something. I don't know. To a kid. Maybe to a kid like three or under. I don't know. But apparently this was happening. But even in those situations, it's like, well, why were you leaving that where your kid could get it? That's on the parents. That's not on, like, you know, government regulation. But, you know, of course, people immediately call for regulation. And even good old Schmucky called for regulation back then. Because apparently, a quote that John found, apparently... Actually, we should probably read the actual quote because it's just too good.
I have it right in front of me.
Yeah, why do you read what the esteemed senator from New York had to say on the matter of Tide Pods back in 2012?
All right, here we go. He said the incidents are skyrocketing. These pods were supposed to make household chores easier, not tempt our children to swallow harmful chemicals. I saw one on my staffer's desk, and I wanted to eat it. And then he says, I don't know why they make them look so delicious. Like, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah. Now, like I said, that's why I was saying before, it could maybe possibly look like some kind of candy to a child. But to a full-grown adult, you know, clearly the people who are willingly participating in this so-called Tide Pod Challenge right now that are adults, they know full well it's not candy. But, you know, here you go, a guy who has been a United States senator for however long now and is raking in tons of money, all on taxpayer dime, you know, and is tasked with making, you know, supposedly making these important decisions that shape the lives of millions upon millions of people, and he thought it was a piece of candy because it looks delicious. I hate that, man. I really do. Like, I reserve the word hate because I don't like to use it a lot. I used to use it all the time, and I really try not to hate a lot of people, but like, Schumer is one of those individuals. I just can't. I hate him. I really hate that man. He's just...
He seems like quite the loser.
He's evil and stupid, and like, it's just... Oh, it's just so horrible. I mean, it's great to be able to make fun of him like this, but I don't
evil
know.
Evil and stupid sounds like a really bad combination.
It is. It is, because, you know, I mean, I just because he is so evil, I could actually see him, like, using that statement, and he didn't actually mean it. It was kind of just a way for him to like make it even more believable that regulation must be, you know, must take place immediately, which obviously it didn't, because that was back in 2012 and we're still dealing with this issue now. But now there are, of course, people calling for government regulation, and something must be done. And, you know, even back then, Schumer was claiming, well, you know, it doesn't have to be like, you know, super regulated, but something has to be done, because, of course, that's the mentality. Somebody got hurt by doing something stupid, and, you know, everybody else has to pay because of it. You know, because I have seen photos, like recent photos, that in certain stores now, it's like obviously no regulations have been passed and it hasn't been made mandatory law or anything. But I've seen certain stores now locking the Tide Pods up in like
that's what they used to do with the cough syrup back in my day.
Yeah, well, they still do now. Like anything you could possibly make meth out of, they keep locked up largely.
Oh yeah, I guess Sudafed, you know. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, and then, you know, I remember back in the day, was the first thing I ever remember that happening to was spray paint. When
people started huffing it.
Well, huffing, yeah, but it was actually more so the graffiti and all the tagging.
I see. Oh, yeah, you're up in New York, yeah.
Yeah. So especially all the towns that I lived in, that's what, you know, where the areas I was, that's when it became a thing where everybody was going out and getting spray paint. And I think they did it under the guise of the health risk of huffing, but it was really because they were agitated about all the people who were just spray painting everything, which, of course, I even back then never had a problem with, because it was always on quote unquote public property. And heck, it's your property. Why can't you paint it?
Right.
You know, so it wasn't like they were defacing private property or anything like that. So I never had an issue with it. But yeah, but that was the first thing I remember. And then, you know, then when suicides become a big thing, you know, I mean, obviously suicides always happen, but like when they become a bigger issue in the news, a lot of places start locking up razors. I know that happens. And then of course, you know, living in New York and some of the towns I live in aren't. You know, I live in the suburbs, but there's still some towns that aren't the greatest around here. And like when you ever have to go shopping in the stores around there, like especially the funniest was always to me, like I would go to like the Home Depot or something, and they'd have like a bunch of these tools that you wouldn't like expect, just like all random things, like all locked up because apparently they were the ones that got stolen the most. So like to prevent theft is one thing that I understand, but like to keep things like this under lock and key, because unfortunately, somebody is not always available at the store right away to unlock the case for you if you happen to need these products. Like, if you're somebody who has no interest of making some stupid YouTube video about how idiotic you could be by eating one of these things, and you just want to say, I don't know, clean your clothes, then you're going to have to be inconvenienced because of other people's stupidity. Which is all that government regulations, that's almost all they ever do, is they inconvenience the people that are smart enough to figure out how to function like a normal human being without the aid of a litany of laws and regulations. But, the, you know, the stupid people, you know.
Exactly.
Same reason there's, whatchamacallit, same reason there's warnings on things, you know. It's not for us, it's for the stupid people. That's a line from
coffee.
Yeah, it's a line from Bill Engvall, one of my favorite comedians. But it's what it is. It's that, like, you know, we don't need them, but they have to be there because somebody did something dumb at one point, got themselves hurt, and unfortunately, now because of it, companies have to spend extra money in order to make sure that they put these warning labels on things and go through extra processes and stuff like that. And it's all just to protect the lowest common denominator,
yeah.
Which, you know, never works out well for most people.
The stupid people ruin it for the rest of us.
They really do, man. I mean, they're fun to have around to pick on, but they really do make it. You know, I mean, I guess that's what democracy is built for, though, right? The lowest common denominator. So it's built absolutely. For the stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want any part of that. Anyway, we'll return after this trip to the market. Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Neptunia. music for The Drive to Alpha Centauri. Neptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Neptunia's styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Neptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. biptunia.com.
Watching the clock and wondered if you would notice, and you did.
Doing radio for over 2 years. I think I finally got the hang of it, I guess. Anyway, so we're back, and we were talking about the idiocy of people on there eating laundry detergent in the last segment, but we're going to shift gears again. We actually have another story that comes from, coincidentally, one of the guys we have with us tonight. Another story written by John, but this one is about Facebook and Google promising Congress that they're going to brainwash us with their own counter propaganda. How exciting. Thank you so much for your service, Zuckerberg. What's this all about, John?
Well, basically, they had to talk to Congress about the whole Russia, you know, thing, and how ISIS, well, Twitter has the issue with ISIS and with ISIS using their platform, quote unquote, and Facebook has the issue with the Russian bots that supposedly stole the election, which, you know, we all know is a bunch of garbage. You know, it does exist, but it was a very small fraction of, you know, the political ads that were going around, and what happened, you know. But anyway, they were forced to kind of talk about the measures that they were putting into place to combat this propaganda. And I think it was Facebook said that they're basically redirecting... it was Google who is redirecting anybody who they track everybody's activity. And if somebody's activity shows that they might be a terrorist, then it redirects them to anti-terrorist activity, which I guess that's why we always see ads for joining the police academy and stuff like that. Maybe that's why.
You know what? That would make sense, actually. I always had wondered, because I don't really have anything to do with stuff like that that would cause me to, like, you know, other ads I understand, you know, like the things you, basically anything I think about pops up because somehow it gets picked up through Google or Amazon or something. But yeah, exactly. those ones always baffled me, but that would make sense.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I thought. And, you know, the other sites just have been talking a lot about censorship and just how they're going to block people and stuff like that.
Yeah, I love, what was it? Was it YouTube? Oh, yeah. YouTube is touting how fast they can take things down.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly.
They claim they could take down 70% of the violent extremism content within 8 hours and nearly half of it in 2 hours. You know, she bragged. I love how you wrote that. But it's you know, like... What is that, you know, what constitutes violent extremism? You know, that's, you know, if it was a clearly defined thing, that'd be one thing. But they, when it comes to stuff like this, it's always like vaguely defined terms or very subjective terms. And as has been proven time and time again, especially with platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter, their biases come through very clearly. Very often, you know, by the people who get banned from Twitter or the people before the giant demonetization on YouTube, which is happening now, which is such BS because so many of us are getting kicked out of making any money there, which we made, you know, my SOL project barely made any money over there, but still, we don't even have the opportunity to anymore. But, you know, even before that, they were constantly demonetizing certain people just based on their content. And it was, you know, sure, their platform and stuff, but, you know, even in their own, you know, code, you know, rules of conduct or whatever, nobody was actually knew what they were violating because they were just like making it up on the fly. So when they boast that they can cut out violent extremism, or they can crack down on this, or they can crack down on that, yeah, what's your definition of those terms? And of course, they don't ever want to give that. And that just opens the door for more censorship, and, you know, and more people being chased out of different platforms just because of their views, not necessarily because of anything they've done. And, you know, I don't know. Doesn't help that they're proudly telling the government about this, because, well, there's also the history of a lot of these organizations, you know, people knowing full well that they kind of work with the government in a lot of ways, you know. I mean, heck, doesn't Zuckerberg want to run for president?
Yeah, exactly.
So,
and wow, we're seeing well, it's just been rumored. I don't think he's come out and said it, but it's definitely been hinted at, I think.
Yeah, I heard about him doing it a lot more often than, you know, since I guess Oprah was the latest one that people are trying to trot out now. But yeah, I was hearing about him doing it for a while. But in either case, Google, YouTube, Facebook, they're all they've all been willing to help out the government before. So shouldn't be surprised.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
As soon as I look at the clock, I'm like, oh, we're going to be back soon. Dog's like standing at the door staring at me. I'm like, you're the one who wanted to be in here. Go lie down. Got a few more segments to deal with. Anyway, so we're back, and we're just full of stories tonight. So we're going to switch gears again. And this is another one that John brought us, but it's a story I don't know. You know, talking about government. We were talking about government earlier and the fact that it's supposed to be in a shutdown, but they still managed to do all these things. And one thing they just did recently was they, the U.S. Customs and Border Officers seized a whole bunch of counterfeits, $1 million worth of counterfeit sinks. Yes, that's right. I said sinks. As
what
in like,
that sink in.
Yeah, where's that meme when I need it? Let that sink in. Yes, talking like kitchen sinks. I don't even understand how do you counterfeit these things. I guess what they were supposed to be brand name ones, but yeah, they were stainless steel sinks, supposed like 3,000 of them.
Yeah, they were supposed to be brand name, and apparently they had some. Maybe had a logo on it that wasn't legit or something. Now, I don't know how they figured this out. I don't know. Are they inspecting every sink that comes through the?
Oh, I don't know. According to them, the UPC Shield logo, I don't even know what that means, was not authorized. So therefore, they were able to confiscate the entire shipment and just look through it. Yeah. Basically, whoever sent it didn't have the right paper. It didn't have the proper papers, basically, and that just opened them up to say, "Oh, we're just going to look into everything." And I mean, It's funny because in the first hour, you know, I did mention the word fraud in regards to another case. And yeah, this is, I guess, fraud. So I don't know how I feel about it necessarily, but it's...
I mean, if anything, it's a lot of energy wasted over something dumb.
Yeah, that's the bigger issue here, I think, is that they could... they could be using those resources to actually protect people, you know. I don't think.
And the other issue is that it's highly possible that only certain types of sinks are allowed to be imported. You know what I mean? And it this could have been the only way that they could have got their sinks in here. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know how this stuff works, but I'm just hypothesizing about how things usually work with government.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say it's not far fetched because there are plenty of things in every different market that are specifically kept out of the United States, not because there's anything wrong with them in particular, but just because, you know, the USA says no, either they're making money off a competitor somehow, or
well, that is what it said in the article. It said that these people are taking jobs away from Americans or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's just ridiculous, but...
They took our jobs.
Yeah, let's see, where's the quote here? Yeah, quote, "The Customs and Border Protection will continue to work closely with our trade and consumer safety partners to seize counterfeit and inferior merchandise." Again, inferior by whose standards? Especially those products that pose potential harm to American customers. Yes, like those horrible counterfeit sinks. They're going to kill us all. Back to the quote. "Negatively impact legitimate business brand reputations and potentially steal jobs from U.S. workers." Okay, now the only part of that I can agree with is the negatively impacting legitimate business brand reputations. Because, I mean, I can see that argument. I don't know if I necessarily fully agree with it. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. I don't know. But I can see that argument because, yes, if you have a particular product and you have a particular reputation and people buy from your product and or service because of your, you know, because of your reputation, and then somebody starts putting out an identical product and slaps your logo on it,
right,
but it's an inferior one, and then people start, you know, flooding your customer service lines complaining about the shoddy stuff that they bought that they think is one of yours. You know, I could see that be, you know, I see how that's an issue. But the stealing jobs from U.S. workers, I'm sorry, that's just ridiculous. Why doesn't anybody else have a right to have a job and make money? And make their product and try to sell, you know, and try to sell it. Maybe they're undercutting the, you know, the other companies. Fine, whatever. But, you know, you're not stealing jobs from anybody. That's insane.
Exactly. Yeah. The only problem I had with it was the branding and the logo issue, where they were trying to, you know, pass them off as something that they weren't.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That is the only sketchy part.
Well, yeah, like I said, I mean, that is, you know, that falls in the territory of fraud. So, yeah, I have an issue with that. But it gets kind of, it's kind of sticky because, it, you know, like you're talking about brand and logo and stuff, and that automatically brings us into copyright, IP, patent, all that different type of stuff. It's like, you know, like trademarks. And I'm like, I have such issues with that, too. But I'm not, you know, I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea, because I've said many times before that I wouldn't be opposed to seeing something like those services in a free society, as long as it was a more voluntary thing, and it wasn't used to abuse the, you know, the system wasn't used to abuse like it is with the patent stuff and the copyright stuff. You know, just like how it always gets extended, the length of the terms of these things always get extended when certain people's patents or certain people's copyrights are up. You know, I blame Walt Disney personally. He's one of the, you know, he's the reason the copyright goes on forever, because every time his copyright's about to run out on Mickey Mouse, they get to increase the darn thing again. So I have issues.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Is that
Wow. Yeah, we did. We did a, gosh, maybe, I'll try to find that one and put it in the show notes too. But we did an episode about that at the Seeds of Liberty a couple of years ago about the fact that it was, it's essentially Walt Disney's fault. He was the one.
Wow.
They did it for him, basically. Because way back then, the length of time was only like maybe 10 years. I don't even know.
And half of his work is public domain to begin with.
Yeah, I don't know how like that works.
Cinderella, and like, he didn't write that.
Yeah, but their versions of it are not, because, you know, they do all that. They lock their stuff. They go so far as to lock their movies in vaults for years where you can't get a copy of it, you know, until they bring it back out of the vault again. But yeah, it's all tied back to Walt Disney, and they basically every time the copyright was one of the copyrights. I think it was on Mickey Mouse or Steamboat Willie or whatever it was. But whatever it was, every time it was about to run out, they would go lobby and it would get extended. And that's why whatever that particular copyright is, I think it's up to like something like 88 years at this point, plus and then something added on after the author's death or whatever. Some crazy number like that. But yeah, it's all because of Walt Disney. Who by many accounts was not a very good man either. Not a very nice guy.
That is very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to dig up the notes that I had for that. But yeah, we did a show about that way back when. Yeah. So that's why I said I have, you know, I'm conflicted on this. I'm not opposed to people putting out competitive products, but yeah, in the current paradigm, if a lot of your reputation is tied to people knowing you through, say, a logo, you know, brand recognition type stuff, then yeah, you're taking advantage of that. Why not just send in the sinks without those? I don't know. You know, heck, if you're going to try to do that, ship them in and then put the stamps on them later, man. Come on, think.
do that next time.
Yeah, right. But again, it's just funny that they're able to break into this entire shipment just based on, you know, paperwork being not authorized, being, you know, again, maybe one number was off or something was a little, you know.
Well, I would think that they would bust into the cargo looking for like Coke or human beings or something like that. You know what I mean? Not inspecting the logos on the sinks.
Well, yeah, but maybe once they already busted in, they had to justify it somehow. So they had to, you know, they had to do something.
Look, officer, look at all these sinks. Look, boss.
Oh, we hit the big one with this. This is gonna be front page news for sure.
Indeed.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, but you know, like you said earlier, it's the fact that they're spending this much this much manpower, whatever, and it is essentially wasted. I mean, they're not protecting the America. You know, no potential American consumer was coming to harm, as they stated in their quote, and nobody's getting their jobs stolen from them. So you know, you really didn't do much other than kind of help out with a fraud situation, which again, if nothing actually ended up happening with the sinks, if the sinks ended up being, you know, just fine, because well, they're stainless steel sinks, you know, how much worse could they be than another sink? It's not like it's not like the fancy faucet or anything. It's just the straight up stainless steel sink part.
Yeah, it's not like it's made out of asbestos or something.
Well, I mean, I guess technically they could be mixing something in there to make it cheaper or whatever, but. But yeah, if nothing happens, then what harm has actually come to anybody other than a big corporation maybe losing out on a couple of bucks because somebody bought a fake one instead of theirs? But heck, yeah. I know plenty of people that go into New York City on a regular basis just to purposely buy fake stuff on a street corner. You know, it's not like the end of the world, folks.
Yeah. Stuff like this just inhibits the free movement of goods and labor and drives up the prices. And
yeah.
That's probably why there was so much money in it. This was $1 million worth of counterfeit sinks. Somebody's out $1 million over this.
Yeah. Well, they're not out $1 million. They're out potential $1 million.
True.
You know, most likely if they're counterfeit and they were, you know, they weren't made at the specs that the actual sinks were, then, you know, they're out the cost of whatever the sinks were. Who knows how much that was. But, you know, it is a risk you take when you ship stuff and have to deal with the U.S. government. They love to take other people's stuff.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of seeing peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Back for the final segment of the Freedom Fiends, and we like to call this Redemption in the Third Act. And I happen to have an article which fits that theme somewhat. This is from Zero Hedge, and the headline is 15-year-old hacker impersonated CIA director and other high-ranking officials in massive data breach. A 15-year-old hacktivist who tricked AOL and Verizon customer support operators into believing he was a then-CIA director, John Brennan, was able to crack into Brennan's accounts and access highly sensitive documents concerning U.S. military and intelligence operations in Afghanistan and Iran, a U.K. court has heard. Kane Gamble, now 18, was able to access Brennan's emails, contacts, and his iCloud storage account after several successful attempts to manipulate information out of the call center employees. Brennan's emails were sent to WikiLeaks and published on October 26, 2015. Gamble used similar social engineering techniques to gain access to former Secretary of Homeland Security Jay Johnson, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper, and tricked the FBI help desk into believing he was then Deputy Director Mark Giuliano. Gamble founded the five-man hacktivist group Crackers with Attitude, telling a journalist, it all started by me getting more and more annoyed about how corrupt and cold-blooded the U.S. government are, so I decided to do something about it. The 15-year-old then proceeded to unleash mayhem on his victims to, quote, F the gov, according to court records, by taunting them online, downloading pornography onto their computers, and even taking control of their iPads and TV screens. Sometime in October 2015, the 16-year-old Gamble convinced the FBI's help desk that he was Deputy Director Mark Giuliano, pretending to be the former FBI boss while using information he had obtained after accessing the FBI's law enforcement enterprise portal, LEAP. From this access, Gamble gained intelligence and details of government employees and police officers. Gamble then bombarded Giuliano's family and associates with calls, forcing them to post an armed guard at their home. Gamble pleaded guilty to 10 violations of the UK's Computer Misuse Act in October 2017. Two Americans charged with participating in Crackers with Attitude, computer science student Justin Liverman and Andrew Boggs, both of North Carolina, were arrested in 2016 and sentenced to 5 and 2 years in prison respectively after pleading guilty to criminal hacking conspiracy. At one point, the FBI realized their system had been breached and the password was changed, but Gamble was able to regain access by calling the FBI help desk as Mr. Giuliano. The young hacktivist also used his access to sensitive information to post the personal details of Officer Darren Wilson, who shot and killed black teenager Michael Brown.
He was the one who doxed Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
The truth comes
out. Thank you for your service.
Yep. Gamble's 8-month cracking spree came to an end in February 2016 after he accessed the details of 20,000 FBI employees from the DOJ's network, as well as files on the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. The FBI and U.S. Secret Service immediately called the police in UK, and Gamble was arrested at his Leicestershire home, where he shared with his mother. Gamble awaits sentencing at a yet to be determined date. And what surprises me is that he was able to actually pull off all these phone calls as an 18-year-old, or probably 16-year-old at the time, and convince these people that he was all these high-ranking officials. That's what surprises me.
Yeah, I'm thinking maybe he had some kind of voice modulation thing, but you know, it is still like, it just goes, I mean, it goes to show you, number one, the ineptness of government, but it is also something like, it isn't that difficult for people to, you know, to do this to anybody, unfortunately. You know, stuff like this does happen a lot, where you can get information from help desk people anywhere, because some people aren't very bright, and it's very easy to get them to give up information that they really shouldn't. Mm-hmm. But it is funny when the government does it, because here's the organization who's supposed to be protecting you, and a 15-year-old kid can convince them that he is, like, at the time, he can convince them that he's the director of the CIA. And be like, I need this information, just give me this. And they just hand it over to him. And then he's, you know, using it to taunt them, basically. You know, some of the stuff I read through there, some of the quotes and stuff, you know, he was harassing some people, which was kind of like, all right, dude, you know, maybe that's a little overboard, but overall, being able to get into the system and, you know, show how ineffective the U.S. government is at securing its own stuff, I think is a big deal. And, you know, I congratulate him. Not all heroes wear capes.
Thank you for your service.
Exactly. Well, all right. It's been another fun show, gentlemen. Thank you for joining me today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And, of course, for more of us, you can always go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.